Matt on RBN, and we're pleased to bring here to you Professor Morgan Reynolds, and we want to continue with his presentation on the World Trade Center, No Planes. Professor Reynolds, you want to continue here?
Well, let me point out that for those who can want to follow along, I am at nomoregames.net/presentations/, and if you click on that first line, you will be taken to the PowerPoint, and I'm on slide 25, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here, the main point is that an aluminum plane would smash to pieces if it collided with a steel tower, concrete tower, and crumple, and things would fly all over, the plane would break up, and almost certainly twist, rotate, break off its tail section. And I'll prove that for you in a little bit with some film clips. And what we're asked to believe is that the steel walls in the each tower, backed up by floors, which are steel and concrete, plus the steel cores, and we can talk about the dimensions of the towers, offered no resistance. So I'm saying, give me a break. What the perpetrators have done is to prey on the fear, the disorientation, the gullibility, and the scientific and technical ignorance of the American people to pulling this off. It's just outrageous. And among the many features that are cannot be possibly true is that the plane in each tower going in there does not decelerate. And this is an absurd violation of Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion, which we're going to visit more carefully in a little bit. There is no evidence of plane wreckage or debris below the impact zones in each tower. Where'd it go? There's no plane debris visible in the gashes. Where'd it go? A Boeing 767 has 3.1 million parts, according to Boeing.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, the holes are undersized. The Boeing 767 is 156 feet wingtip to wingtip, and the bigger holes in the North Tower, and that's no more than 125 feet wide. And in the South Tower, it's about 106 feet wide. NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, doesn't even tell you how wide they are because they know they're undersized holes. And then the holes are obstructed, so you couldn't actually have a clean penetration of a plane without leaving a lot of plane wreckage. And furthermore, these plane-shaped holes, of course, are impossible, and I'll show you why in a little bit. All these videos that show penetration at the South Tower are fake. You can go frame by frame and prove yourself that there is no crash. Rather, the plane image is simply absorbed into the building. It disappears step by step into the building. That's not the way a real collision works. And then the smoke from the hits are too gray. They aren't black and charcoal enough. If you look at enough real plane crashes, you see how black and charcoal burst of destruction, the whole orange-yellow flame explosions are. And then also you look at the videos, you see the building even heals itself up during penetration. In other words, once the building disappears, there's a lag before these gray explosions occur, mostly away from the penetration wall.
Well, I have to stop you here. We're going to another break. We'll be right back, Professor. We'll continue when we come right back.
Are Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Here with Professor Morgan Reynolds and his presentation of No Planes. Professor, you want to continue here?
Thank you. I'm on slide 26.
Okay.
My PowerPoint, nomoregames.net/presentations. And I was pointing out that in these videos where you go frame by frame, you see that the building heals itself up during penetration. I'm going to show you one example of that.
Morgan, can you speak up just a little bit?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to show you an example of that on the next slide. And here's another aspect, another way to put it, is that we have impossible butter-smooth entry of this plane image in the South Tower with no deceleration. And the National Institute of Standards and Technology actually agrees with me that there is no deceleration. There have been various studies about this, but the plane does not decelerate. It's, in other words, it flies through steel a steel tower at the same speed as thin air, which is a violation of Newton's first law of motion. And then we have delayed explosions, as I pointed out. And here's another point, and that is the South Tower plane image was turning left, as you may recall. And then they've got this cartoon-like hole of the plane gash is at about a 38-degree angle, again, consistent with a left-hand turn. Yet that would mean that the left wing an engine would hit before the right wing and engine. And if that were true, that would spin the whole plane counterclockwise or to the right, and it would fling off the tail section to the east and northeast. Instead, we're asked to believe that each aircraft in the tower, you know, hit in a perfectly flush, perpendicular way. That's not the way it's going to go. So plane would break up in a particular way. Now, I'm going on to slide 27, and this is out of the CNN penetration of the South Tower footage. And you can see in this frame, there's some peculiar things. For example, the left horizontal stabilizer wing in the back is missing, and the tail doesn't seem mostly there. But what's really interesting here is during this mid-penetration frame is that on the left side, there is no wing showing between the engine image and the fuselage. And yet there's no break in the building either. So that's impossible. You know, what's going on there? It is just, it's just a naive case of TV or video fakery. Furthermore, we're asked to believe that the plane is invincible upon entry. It just smashes right through steel and concrete. And yet it disappears inside where it turns fragile and somehow shreds itself into near nothingness. So the plane must change physical character. Here's another factor that's interesting is that Pilots for 9/11 Truth was interviewing John Lear, the son of the famous entrepreneur inventor of the Lear jet, and he commented that two experienced pilots were on flight simulators that morning of 9/11, and they tried five or six times and couldn't hit the towers flying at 500 miles an hour. Experienced pilots. Remember, you're talking about high speed and a very narrow width to try and penetrate. I even doubt that a 67 could fly that fast at sea level because the air resistance is so huge. But
it was impossible to have passengers alleged in wing sections and various other places making calls. And in fact, this woman that was married to the gentleman in the Justice Department, she, up until the point of impact, was on the phone saying at a very close distance to the impact, you know, I love you, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's Barbara Olson, supposedly.
Yeah, and it was like
the Pentagon.
Right, and she came out of Fox News to go in fact, on flight to interview Gary Cotton in regards to the situation with Susan Levy that had disappeared. And so the whole thing is, you know, again, she was the one that was on the alleged phones on a continuous basis, no cut from the time this plane dived down from high altitudes. There was no sounds of any arguments or fighting in the background, clear transmission, nothing of hearing any terrorist activity in the background from any of these people. And the thing is that they're talking about people that had box cutters and alleged plastic knives, which was in the beginning, that were involved with taking over these flights and flying them into these buildings. And the thing is, again, where's the investigation of this? Well, you know,
And
I got one other question to ask you.
I'm doing the investigation.
Where did these pictures come from? Because from the time this stuff happened, they wouldn't release any pictures on the Pentagon. From the time this happened, nobody got any information of these pictures of the jagged hole they showed for hitting Building 1. Now, all of a sudden, where did all these pictures come from?
Well, let's go back to I want to talk about the physics.
That's something.
It's not controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And let's figure out how strong are planes and how strong are steel buildings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about some Newtonian physics. But do airplanes, Deanne, have crash test ratings? Do you only fly on 5-star crash-rated planes?
No, they don't even tell you that.
Do you only get on steel airplanes because they're especially strong and crashes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there aren't any crash test ratings because airplanes fall apart, okay? They're built, as Dr. Judy Wood says, their over-design factor is only about one, you might even call it zero, because planes are built to be light, to carry their payload and meet the stress of flying, landing, and takeoff, and that's it. You know, in other words, they don't have a lot of extra strength to survive crashes. Now, here's here's one way to begin to appreciate this. Airlines, do they worry about what your luggage weighs, Deanne?
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I didn't hear you.
Do the airlines worry about what your luggage weighs?
No.
They don't? So you.
Yes, they do. I want to ask you that, too. Another thing, during the time of September 11th with the luggage, remember you were allowed carry-on? And there were pieces of luggage that people were carrying on that were pretty huge and had a lot of weight to them. And during the time that these transmissions were going on, you didn't hear anything about luggage flying around or anything from these flights dropping from altitude and making these terrific turns.
Right,
and
that
was
yeah.
one, and well, there was no perpetration of any of this luggage to cause any damage, it sounded, from inside.
The airlines do have to worry about the not only the weight, but also its distribution aboard and that it doesn't shift during flight. Okay, well, let's go on. I'm going to slide 30, if you can follow along, Deanne, because now what I'm going to do is show you a whole sequence of pictures that suggest airplanes aren't that strong, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's I'm at slide 30. Here's a two-engine light plane. It got caught in a rotating propeller, right? You see this fuselage all cut up in slide 30?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Go to slide 31. Now here's a propeller that hit another light plane's tail. You can see how it just cuts through the aluminum skin of a plane. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Now I'm going to slide 32. Here's a light plane that ran into somebody's living room but didn't quite make it very far, did it?
No.
It got stopped at the wall mostly. Okay, let's go to slide 33. We're starting with small planes. Now here is this light plane that supposedly a 15-year-old teenager who was dedicated to Osama bin Laden stole in Tampa, Florida, and flew into a bank building, the Bank of America.
Uh-huh.
You can see how it's hanging out of the window of this office building, but it didn't get far. You can see another piece of the plane up top there, but it didn't get very far into that building now, did it? I'm going to slide 34. You'll recall last summer, Corey Lytle, the New York Yankees pitcher, ran in with his instructor, his flight instructor. He ran into an apartment building on the east side of New York City. And here's the building, one shot of it. One thing you notice is there's a lot of fuel burned over the face of the building. Okay? Where was that in the towers? I'm going to slide 35, which shows a close-up, you can see that this building is in great shape. This is what I would conclude. Here's slide 36. That's from Fox News, and I believe they enhanced that fire up there because in the previous shot, you could see the ceilings were not burned, were not black. But here we go to – here's the plane that Corey Lytle – here's the type of plane, this SR-20, which is a small four-seater, a single-engine plane, flew into that building. And then I'm going to slide 38, and here's a picture of some of the wreckage below the impact side of the building. You see that, Deanne?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to slide 39. Here's another shot of some wreckage below the impact zone. So that seems to be as that evidence lines up with what we would expect when a light plane ran into an apartment building. Now here's on slide 40, four pictures of a bird strike where a sizable bird, you know, this bird might weigh 8 pounds or something, tore up a wing.
We're going to break, Professor, and we'll be right back talking about no planes in the towers. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Back, and we're here with Professor Morgan Reynolds, and we're talking about the scenario of no planes hitting the World Trade Center. It's making sense, folks, but you know, just listen to this and go to the presentation, and you will see something. It's very odd. Professor, you're back.
We're at nomoregames.net/presentation/. I'm on the PowerPoint. Slide 40 shows you what is kind of a humorous-looking collision between a bird and a plane. But you see how that wing is or winglet is torn up. Here, I go to slide 41. Here's
okay.
a substantial two-engine. A commuter plane. I used to fly these into College Station, Texas. And here's a bird that's made quite a ding into that net. That wing. Slide 42. Let's go to bigger planes. Here's an airliner with a bird hit on that wing. 43. Here's an airliner with two bird dings in the just by back of the nose of the fuselage there. 44, we're getting more substantial. You can see what these aluminum airliners are made of. They're pretty dang delicate. Here's a parking lot accident, you could say, or out there on the tarmac where they one plane's horizontal stabilizer cut into the tail section of another airliner. And then I'm going to 45, which shows a Continental airliner plane, a 727 Boeing. Had a little headbutt with the terminal at Newark, and just about the plane gets about decapitated. Here's slide 46 is another shot of it where they back the plane out. The building has almost no damage. Of course, this is a low-speed run-in, but you can see look at that fuselage where the pilots are. It's just, the cockpit is just wiped out. And here's slide 47, shows them hauling that away. Just see how delicate these planes are. Slide 48 shows a luggage handler, one of these little steel, probably a diesel engine, how it bent up the whole engine area, which is aluminum. Of course, the engine has a lot of strength and integrity because it's mostly stainless steel. titanium and the like, but it's surrounded by aluminum. And then I'm going to slide 49, where you can see an Air France plane is undergoing some stress in landing, and the right wing, it's knocked off the tip. It doesn't take much. And here's the next slide, which is slide 50. This is kind of near and dear to my heart. This is shows you what happened to an airliner, an MD-82, back in 1999 in Little Rock, which is 1 hour from where I live. And what it did was slide off the runway in bad weather, in a storm in June, and it ran into this steel structure, which is for approach landing lights. It's not that much steel, but it broke up the fuselage into three parts. 13 people died out of some 135 aboard. Here's another shot, 51, of this plane just basically is shattered in different ways. Here's a fire section. This type of aircraft has two rear engines. And then I've got on slide 53, that's another shot of the destruction of this plane. Yes? And here's a Boeing 747, of course, which is the largest airliner extant. Here they were going, this is a Saudi Arabian 747 Boeing in Malaysia, I believe. Yeah, Malaysia. And they lost control of it. It must have been going all of 10 miles an hour, and basically got its nose bent out of shape across a drainage ditch. But I've got a couple more shots of this, and you can see how the nose just crumples and the front landing gear bent backwards. These planes cannot take a whole lot of abuse.
No, they can't. That's something that...
Yeah. Slide 56 shows this plane another view, a Boeing 747. Here's another 747 that took off in bad weather on the wrong runway where construction equipment existed. Well, construction equipment's made out of a lot of steel, so this 747 was just totally shattered. The fuselage is broke into three parts, fire, and a lot of death. Here's slide 59 shows you another shot of that. Here is, on slide 60, I show you a Boeing 737, which is kind of a small, medium Boeing. And this thing fell off the runway, slid off the runway in Burbank, California. And so we got another low-speed get-off. And slide 61 shows you, that's the thing that interests me there, is that wing... the left wing shows you the wingtip has been sliced off. I don't know if it was from that lamppost in the foreground, but it doesn't take much to slice off a wing tip. Now, here's a very interesting sequence of photos. This is another Boeing 737, and the top half of the front passenger section blew off in flight.
In flight,
yeah. That was because of fatigue. And if you look at figure or slide 63, you can see a good shot of that. Only one person miraculously was killed, and that was a flight attendant in the aisle. It was blown out of the airplane. But everybody else, if you had your belt on, and the pilot must have done a heck of a job to bring this down. And there was enough integrity that the fuselage didn't break apart. Slide 64 is another shot of that. Slide 65. So the top just came off this plane.
We hear the music again.
And, that shows you what they're made of. And when we come back, I'll show you planes in manufacture at Boeing.
And we're back here.
No, we're going to break.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back, and this is Deanne, a late night with Deanne, and we're having a presentation given by Professor Morgan Reynolds on what happened on that day and to figure out who was involved. Dr. Reynolds?
We were on slide 66 looking at this very unusual this accident, air disaster, where the top of the passenger compartment ripped off a Boeing 737, and remarkably, only one person, a flight attendant, was killed. And I'm on slide 63, probably the best photo of that. To hear people are in the emergency mode trying to escape after landing safely, which was a remarkable flying. And 64, 65, and 66 show other shots of that of destruction to the aircraft. I move on to, so that shows you the fragility, if you will, of airliners. Slide 67 shows some shots of airliners in manufacture at the Boeing plant there in the Northwest. And here's, you can see the front part of the aircraft is being lowered in slide 67 to link up with the midsection of the fuselage and wings. slide 68 shows a, I know this is a 767 by the caption here. It's a wide body, and it the midsection with the wings is being lowered, or is, will be shortly, I gather, to link up with the back part of the fuselage. Here is slide 69. That looks like a 757 to me. You can see the three major sections of the fuselage there at that stage of manufacture. And slide 70 shows you a portion of a fuselage being lowered, it would seem, to mate up with another part of the fuselage. Well, to call it a hollow beer can, akin to a hollow beer can, is not too far off now, is it? Dan? You there, Dan?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. If you've got slide 70, you can see to call this fuselage a hollow beer can isn't too bad of a comparison, is it?
No, it's a good comparison.
Okay, John. Now, slide 71, when shown live at a conference, showed a commuter air crash. And we can see that little video if you have your presentations window open. There's, that's actually slide 71. Maybe some people can click on that, and you can see the commuter plane crash. It'll show up in QuickTime or a similar video player. I'm going to light that up and show it. Here comes this commuter plane. Boom! It's on a sharp descent, and right away the left wing fell off. Probably the right wing did, too. I'm going to run it again. And hey, you can't tell, really, if they're right wing, but it probably did. And then I'm going to go back to the PowerPoint and advance the slides to look at another clip of an airplane crash. These are available on the internet. This one is an MD-80 on a test flight in 1982. And if you go back to the nomoregames.net/presentation/, this is slide 72. You click on that MD-80 crash, and you'll see this plane come in at Edwards Air Force Base in California. And there it goes. The tail, it landed pretty hard, and the tail section fell off. You know, fortunately, you could see the rest of the fuselage under a great deal of stress, but it held together. You can see some flames there in the inside of that fuselage, but the tail section just snapped off on a hard landing. And then if you go back to the presentations window, there's one more I want to show you, which is an Air France Airbus 320 crash, where this plane is, there's some commentary I want to suppress because it's not really relevant. But it, this plane comes in low, supposedly under remote control. It doesn't hit the landing strip, and it goes into the woods nearby, kind of at treetop level. Well, these planes cannot fly through trees, a forest of trees. And there it goes, big black, you know, mixed with fireball smoke. So it's... that plane didn't get far, that Airbus 320. Okay, I'm going to move the slides up. Slide 74. Oh, this is an interesting one. Listeners or the interviewers can go to, all you have to do is Google Ethiopian plane crash. Ethiopian, E-T-H-I-O, P-I-A-N, Ethiopian plane crash. And it'll take you to this YouTube Ethiopian plane crash at the Comoro Islands. And I'm going to run that. And this was a honeymooning couple. This was a hijacked Boeing 767 that ran out of fuel. And the pilot's trying to get it to a safe landing. But here it is. They're on the beach. There goes the plane. The left wing tip hit first. The wing broke off. Of course, the plane rotated rightward, and because the wrecking ball hit the left wing first and pushed it that way. And then the right wing broke off. A majority of the passengers were killed. 50 out of some 175 survived. And the fuselage broke in a few pieces. There's the tail section. Tail section broke off, of course. So that's the Ethiopian plane crash. And that's the only other, by the way, the Boeing 757 and Boeing 767. You know how many Boeing 757s and 767s have been hijacked by U.S. Air carriers in domestic service?
No, how many?
Four. On 9/11. In other words, it never happened before. But this Boeing 767 with the Ethiopian Airlines, that was really hijacked. Okay, now I'm on slide 75, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Slide 75 says, so what we've seen here so far is aluminum airplanes are not very good in crashes. Now, how strong is steel? Well, here's an interesting picture of a strong, burly, big dump truck, and it's got a huge boulder in it. You know, that thing, we could figure it out, but it probably weighs over 10 tons, and it's leaning on one side of the dump truck bed,
mm-hmm.
And that's steel, of course. And that steel is holding up just fine, it would seem. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go to steel is strong. That's my point. Slide 76, what I say here is let me up on a 767 with my sledgehammer. Weighs 9 pounds.
Sledgehammer. You don't have your box cutters.
just give me my 9-pound sledgehammer. And put me up on the top of a 767. Okay, give me 15 minutes. And how is that thing going to be flyable?
No.
No. I'll just, 9 pounds of steel is all I need, you know, much less to run into a tower with hundreds of thousands of tons of steel, okay? Or certainly we could talk about the details. Actually, I've got some calculations here about how much steel it would have run into.
But I want to stop you here at this point in the presentation. I want to ask you a question, and I have a caller, and I'm going to start taking calls, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Question here. The black box. I have a problem with this thing, with the black box. Now, according to theory, and I don't know what kind of alloy they have today, maybe I'm missing something, but they're talking, you know, when this thing happened at World Trade Center and Judy Wood came on and gave her presentation last week, how is it that they found flight recorders if these things disintegrated? I mean, what type of material are these black boxes made of that can substantiate huge amounts of heat with tape recording of devices in it or devices that hold, you know, some type of information without it warping, burning, or disintegrating itself, and they're still able, under all these constraints, to find a black box with information in it? I just want to find out how that goes.
That is hearsay. They didn't. They will never come up with a cockpit voice recorder or a flight data recorder at the World Trade Center and be able to show you it, because they cannot fake it well enough. But, of course, these things, so-called black boxes, are made to survive virtually anything.
Well, I mean, hey, we're talking about one time half the heat of the sun, all kinds of weird types of scenario about the amounts of heat that was radiated, even in the pictures that were, came from Judy last week. You know, you look at the, this powder and you equate it to...
That wasn't done by heat.
Well, we're going to talk about that later on, but the thing is that the plane itself didn't survive, so I doubt seriously that
what
any
plane?
Of these black boxes survived, and I think
no
that's
plane.
A whole lot of hooey.
There is no plane that crashed into either tower. Now, slide 77 shows you the tower under construction, and look at all this steel. Slide 78 shows you the core. Look at all this steel. Now, we already agreed I can wreak havoc with 9 pounds of steel on top of one of those Boeings. It'll be unflyable in minutes. I'll have parts off. Okay?
But let me ask you this, Professor. There are people that were in that building. Some of them at high levels on certain floors that survived, and some of them looked out of the window and they said they saw planes heading towards the tower. How do you equate that?
The eyewitnesses, at a minimum, you know, are a mixed bag. If you read the book called 102 Minutes by this pair of New York Times reporters, there's only one guy in there who asserts there were plane parts, and I say he's a liar. And you get me, if I can question these people under oath, okay, and cross-examine them, their story will fall apart. So it's just hearsay, you know. Let's go back to the physics of air crashes, okay? That's what I'm trying to get you to note. Science trumps eyewitnesses, okay? It trumps them. Eyewitnesses to impossible feats, we can get them broken down. You know, that's not going to hold up. I'm on slide 79 here. Here's the tower, one of the towers under construction. And look at all that steel. Pretty impressive. These buildings, of course, were engineering marvels at the time of construction in the late 60s. Okay. Now, I have a slide 80 which talks about the engineering measures of strength of steel versus aluminum. Guess what? Steel's stronger than aluminum. I'm not going to go into that detail. Now, here's something I promised we were going to look at. Newton's laws of motion. This is from his classic book, Principia Mathematica, in 1687. And as far as I know, Newton's laws of motion are still good. They're still valid. And in particular, I just want to focus on his third law of motion, where he stated it as, to every act, here we're talking about the interaction of bodies or objects. And he says, to every action there is always opposed an equal reaction, or the mutual actions of two bodies upon each other are always equal and directed to contrary parts. Well, we need a little application to try and understand Newton's third law of motion. A more modern way to state that is, for every action there is an equal in size and opposite in direction reaction. So let's get here's a textbook example, classroom example off the internet. An unfortunate bug strikes the windshield of a bus moving down the road. Quite obviously, this is a case of Newton's third law of motion. The bug hit the windshield, and the windshield hit the bug. Which of the two forces is greater, the force on the bug or the force on the bus windshield?
Which one?
Well, the force of the windshield.
Huh?
It kills the bug.
You, yeah. See, you don't understand Newton's third law of motion, do you?
It's the same.
It's the same. Slide 83, the answer is each force is the same. And the impact force is the same on both objects. For every action, there's an equal. The fact that the bug splattered only means that it had smaller mass and strength. It couldn't stand up to the impact as well as the windshield did, right? It's less able to withstand the force from this interaction. So I'm going to go to slide 84 now. Let's go to the case of a plane. A speeding plane strikes the wall of a motionless tower. Obviously, this is a contact between objects, a case of Newton's third law of motion. So the aluminum plane hits the steel building, and the building hits the plane. Which of the two forces is greater, the force on the plane or the force on the building? John? Or
it would be both.
Huh?
It would be both.
It's equal.
Yes, it would be both.
Can you get the music?
We're going to be back after this break, and Professor, we're going to take calls. We've got Ira on hold. Mark, please call back. We'll be taking calls, 800-313-9443.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Public, this is Deanne, and we're talking to Professor Reynolds, and I have a caller, Ira. Ira, are you there from New Jersey?
How you doing, Deanne? Thanks for taking the call. How you doing today?
Okay. How are you doing, Ira?
Not too bad.
Thanks
too
for
bad.
Calling in.
May I direct a question to Professor Reynolds and just preface it with a few remarks? I, as you know, Deanne, I live near New York City, and I worked there, and on 9/11, I was actually there, and I heard people coming away from the disaster site on that day, many people at the time, at that, like, you know, about half hour to an hour afterward, and in the evening, I spoke to other commuters near where I live, and all, and many of them, I mean, we're talking anywhere from, you know, 30 to 50 people or more talked about having seen planes. Now, my question for Professor Reynolds is his contention that it was a missile, in reality, missiles that hit the towers, or that nothing hit the towers, and that, that there were just explosions right around the impact sites on the 92nd floor of the North Tower and the 78th floor of the South Tower? Because there is the technology to fly a missile, but the missile has to come from somewhere, and the missile can be made, what's that word, hologram, you know, you're getting into Star Trek stuff, but that technology exists. What is it you're saying, that a missile hit them, or that nothing hit them, and the bombs went off, and it was a, sure, TV, corporate TV, corporate media television can deceive, can be deceptive on this and a whole lot of other issues, but I'd like to, I haven't heard everything you've said here tonight on the show. I've heard a lot of it, but I just want to know what it is you're saying that caused explosions were at the towers.
Yes.
Was it a missile, or was it just bombs from the inside?
I am not saying what happened. I'm saying that the official account is impossible. So I'm demonstrating that no Boeing 767 flew into either tower.
Oh, I believe that. I think they were military drones myself.
No, that's impossible because of the physics, which is why we've got to be careful and spend a lot of time on no plane crash happened, okay? Now, what did happen is a matter that I have not figured out, and I don't think any of the 9/11 researchers have.
Well, I wanted to ask a couple questions here, and this is where we get to the deep nitty-gritty here. And Myra, I need your help. Next week, I'm having some of the people that were in the tower on the show.
Yeah.
Now, Ira, when you talk to these people, were you anywhere near New York? I want to find out, did you see this white powder substance all over the ground? Or had anyone told you about this? And had they seen, like, a whirly type of fog type of clouds? Or
well, I wasn't
ground? What did they see?
I wasn't close enough.
Well, it's only the people that you talk to.
Yeah, no, I can't think of anybody.
We're stopping for a commercial break. We'll be right back.
It's true.